friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We go to the fan hotline. She covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She's Miss Mary Kay Cabot. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well.
Good.
You know, we're sitting here today, Mary Kay, and we're kicking this around. Browns have the number one defense in the NFL right now. Fewest yards allowed, if you're going by that stat, and I think it's a critical stat. Fewest yards allowed, and it's like 40 more than the second best team, which is the Atlanta Falcons. It feels to me that this defense is going to give you a chance to win some football games, especially if you can just figure out how to run the football. So even though they're 0-2, I have a little bit of optimism based on the way the defense has played. Is it justified?
I think so. I think that was always going to be the plan, at least in the early going, was to play really, really good defense, run the football, and then get clean quarterback play. That was going to be the formula. And that is why I strongly felt that if they could win the turnover battle on a week-to-week basis, that they could win seven games. And in a perfect world, if they got good quarterback play, that perhaps they could even flirt with a few more. But so far, the running game, they did not get that off the ground because of Quinshon's situation. So they're still working through that. But I think that will get better. And they haven't gotten clean quarterback play to this point. So those things need to get better. But if they do, then I do think that they have a chance to win some football games. And as you can see, there are some starting quarterbacks that might not be playing against them. J.J. McCarthy might not play against them. Who knows if Joe Burrow will play against them. So I do think that they will also have some opportunities to maybe win some games that would have been a little bit tougher. But if the defense continues to play like this, I do think they'll have a chance.
Mary Kay, the most vocal objections to this team right now seem to be pointed at Kevin Stefanski and Joe Flacco. Is it justified to be critical of Kevin Stefanski right now? And what do we think of his play calling?
Well, first of all, I think that the narrative on the season would be completely, completely different if Andre Schmidt had made the 36-yard potential game-winning kick in week one, right?
I think you're right.
Every single thought about this football team in this moment would be different, I believe. Now, they made a series of mistakes once again in Baltimore, and that game got away from them. But if they were 1-1 right now, we would not be talking about trying to have Kevin on the hot seat and benching Joe and all of those. If it just came down to Andre making that kick and the defense holding. So the margins are very, very thin. The Kansas City Chiefs are 0-2 right now, right? Mm-hmm. There are teams that are 2-0 right now that are wondering how they're 2-0. So
you're right. You're right.
Right. I mean, and the Bengals left here with Joe Burrow saying, "We stole one." So it's just a different way of looking at it if something that minor had happened. Now, when you get your tail kicked the way that they did in Baltimore, it does seem like the sky is falling. That game got out of hand and got away from them. And I think it did in part for a number of reasons. I mean, you can't be getting a punt blocked and you can't be turning the ball over. But also, Denzel Ward was not in that game for most of the game. If you take a team's number one cornerback out of the game most of the time, that's going to be a really long afternoon for that football team. And it was. They really were hurting without him. And the offense put them in, of course, horrible situations, as did the special team. So right now I see correctable mistakes, but what I also see is a grueling stretch coming up. Are you kidding me? I mean, Green Bay Packers, they are so good. It's going to be a really, really tough afternoon at Huntington Bank Field on Sunday. They're in a stretch right now of playing 4 out of 5 on the road. They have to go to London and face the Vikings there. So it's just a tough stretch. It's going to be really, really hard to win games. But they can win games if they win the turnover battle.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Mary Kay, the recipe for success for the offense, I think we all would agree, is running the football. They've not done that well so far. Is that on the backs? Is that on the line? Is it on the scheme? Is it on the play calling? What do you think it is?
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. It's an overhauled running game, and it's not a well-oiled machine yet. They've had a lack of continuity so far at the offensive line spots. I mean, both of their tackles were compromised in this past game. Jack Conklin was ruled out with an elbow injury. DeWand was in and out because of heat concerns, so they didn't have their starting tackles in there. And once again, we all know that you really have to be working in concert. The five guys on the offensive line have to be working really well together to make that beautiful run game music that you have to do. So that hasn't happened yet. And of course, as we mentioned, Quinshon wasn't there in the first game, and he has practiced twice with this football team. So what they thought was going to be a really robust running game from minute one, it hasn't been that yet. And that's not how this was supposed to go. You're not supposed to put your 40-year-old quarterback out there and have him pass the ball 45 times per game. If you put him in that position, there are going to be mistakes by somebody, whether it's him, whether it's the receivers. There's a lot of margin for error when you're throwing the ball 90 times in your first two games.
All right, so let me go back. At what point do you think that they need to steer in a different direction at quarterback? Like, how long is this Joe Flacco period going to last if they continue to lose?
Well, it just depends on what the philosophy is inside that building. I mean, look at what happened in training camp when Kenny Pickett suffered a hamstring. They completely pivoted and changed their whole entire game plan and traded him, because he wasn't going to be able to win the starting job. And by the time he was going to be ready, they felt good enough about Dylan Gabriel that they were going to turn it over to him. So you never really know what an organization is thinking behind the scenes in a situation like this. But at some point, it's going to make sense for them to see what Dylan Gabriel can do. And I don't know how long it's going to take them to get to that point. I think they have to block out the outside noise and block out all the pressure that they're going to get from people to make a change, and do what is right for their football team in the moment. And right now, it seems to me like a veteran presence helping to hold things together might be the prudent way to go. I can't say for sure that Dylan wouldn't come in and give them some kind of a spark. He's really polished and poised and all of those things for a rookie. But right now, it seems prudent to go with the veteran who can kind of help you keep things together a little bit.
With that thought in mind, give me a yes or no on this, and it'll set up my next question. Do you think they're going to draft a quarterback next year?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
I'm not even thinking anything else.
Okay, I'm not either.
That has to happen.
I agree with you completely. That's what I think, too. So with that thought in mind, what do you think the best course of action is this year at quarterback? Is it to play the veteran? Is it to play the young guys? Because if you're playing the young guys, what are we playing them for? If you're playing the veteran because you think it gives you a better chance to win games, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, you're hoping to be as high in the draft as you can next year. I think it's a weird situation, Mary Kay, and I'm not sure how they should approach it.
Well, I think one of your guiding forces should be, is the rookie ready to play, okay? It's not just about seeing what the rookie can do. It's about development of the rookie and making sure that the rookie is ready to go out there and function against an NFL defense that is going to be there trying to rip his head off. And you can't put him in harm's way. You can't put your football team in harm's way if he's not ready. They have to be ready to go out there. And sometimes it might just take a few more weeks. Sometimes you need to assimilate your offense a little bit more. Sometimes there are things that you need to work on, or that they need to see you be able to do or handle or understand or call in a practice before you can demonstrate that you can go out there and have Micah Parsons coming at you, and then you're going to know how to handle that situation. So it's not just, hey, let's see what Dylan can do. It's also, hey, let's see what Dylan is ready for. It's called quarterback development, and it is vitally important how it's done.
How long before we have a mutiny in the locker room between the defense and the offense, special teams?
It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No, it's not going to happen, because they have put players on this football team that have high character and they're professionals and they stick together and they have good leadership on this football team that will help weather the storm and navigate through a time and a period like this. So I don't think that you're going to have that. I really don't see that happen.
So you're guaranteeing that we will not see one cutaway in the next 2 weeks if this continues between someone on the defense yelling at somebody on the offense. That's a Mary Kay guarantee.
I want
a Mary Kay guarantee on that.
Mary Kay, see what I deal with every day.
If I'm on the defense, I'm just absolutely frustrated. And I know that we probably won't see that in public. But if you're Myles Garrett, I mean, he's played his you-know-what off in the last 2 weeks. And a lot of these guys on defense have. And they're not getting anything in return other than frustration and misery from special teams and offense. And you internally, that has got to eat away at some of these guys.
Well, everyone's human, of course. Everyone is human. Everyone wants to win. Everyone's putting their heart and soul into this. But like I said, I do believe this is a professional football team full of high-character guys who can handle adversity. And that's what you have to do as a football team. It's one of the biggest things that you have to be able to do as a football team is demonstrate that you can handle adversity. And a number of teams have started 0-2. I'm not saying that this is necessarily a playoff team this year or close to it or going anywhere, but there have been teams that have started 0-2 and 0-3 and whatever and have gotten it turned around. And the Cleveland Browns, they have a brand new offense once again. They've got a brand new offense and everything is overhauled, new blocking schemes, new personnel, young guys. I mean, there are a lot of young guys on this football team. And it's just not going to look like a Super Bowl contender in weeks 1, 2, and 3. But if you keep your head down, you keep working at it, you get the right kind of coaching, the right kind of leadership, then you should continue to look better as the season goes along.
Mary Kay, last thought. The offensive line had Jack Conklin out. DeJuan was out a little bit. They were bouncing back and forth there. Do you think this line is still capable of being a pretty good offensive line?
I do. I think it hurts to have Jack Conklin out. He's one of the best in the business. I think DeJuan is still coming around and finding his way a little bit on the left side, and I think they have to keep looking at that and, navigating that situation and making sure that that is how they need it to be. Again, they're not five guys working in complete concert yet. They still have their blocking schemes that they're learning and or getting back to or however that's working. But I do think that they will be better over the next 3 or 4 weeks than they have been. They've got a lot of good defenses coming up, so it's not going to be easy. The Green Bay Packers defense is lights out. So it's going to be a huge test. But I think that this offensive line will start working better together soon.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, miss.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay joining us on the Fan Hotline. You can read her work in the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She does a great job of covering the Cleveland Browns.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Jeff, if they have a WNBA team, should it not be called the Rockers? I thought that was an excellent name.
Roll it out, baby.
That's what I say. Yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah, Rockers. What else are you going to call
it? Was here once. Worked just fine.
Yeah. And it was a winning franchise. It was a winning organization.
Either Rockers or Walleye or Pipers, Sandpipers.
Oh, come on, Jeff. You're not going to the Pipers for our WNBA team now, are you?
We had the old ABL team, Cleveland Pipers. Owned by George Steinbrenner.
Oh, we have the old WNBA team, the Rockers.
I would go with the Rockers.
How about the old ABL team out of Columbus, the Quest?
I would go with the Rockers.
I would go with the Rockers, too. Do you concur, Dan Manigan?
There's a part of me that wants to go through a whole thing and figure out creativity.
What's with the poignant pause?
Man, that took forever.
What's with the poignant pause?
You had to think
As
about
I've
it.
Said on the air on numerous occasions, it's thanks to my buddy Chris Fedor so that I don't start statements by going, because I'm notorious for thinking and starting statements with and he passed along to me, hey, say nothing, and then that way you don't sound like a dumb dumb until you actually make a point.
Love Fuller.
Wow. Interesting.
No, it's Fedor.
Oh, Fedor.
Fedor.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought you said Fuller.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
But
they're both, we like Chris's. Both, yeah.
Yeah, they're good
I'm
guys.
I'm fine with the Rockers. There's a part of me that wants to get rid of and get away from electric guitars and all that kind of stuff.
I agree with that. But the name was pretty good.
Mary, are you listening to this? Hopefully not. Hopefully she's.
I mean, I'm, you know, I'm kind of listening. What did you
Rockers?
Want?
Just should they just be the WNBA team be the Rockers? Should
yeah, I think
just
so.
Okay,
I think so. I like the history. I like the connection to the city.
It's
and
a winning franchise.
Yeah, well, and so many people have so many good memories from the Rockers. It just to me
and
it doesn't.
And so many people have no memories.
Right, just, and to me it just doesn't really make sense to change it. Right, like when the Browns went away and came back, they were always going to be the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
When the Indians left. Oh, wait a minute.
They're still kind of here.
I'm sorry. So Mary Kay
D-heads
Cabot
are still here.
Mary Kay Cabot.
Yeah.
Completely agreed with me. Completely agreed with you.
Okay.
There's no way that this team is not taking a quarterback next year. So I want to have an uncomfortable conversation.
Okay.
If this team is going to draft what they think will be their quarterback for the next decade. Fingers crossed. I know, Andy, you want 5 years. I get it.
I'll take three.
Let's just say decade.
Okay.
What should you do at quarterback this year? Are you playing Joe Flacco because he gives you the best chance to win? Well, if you're doing that, well, why do you want to win? I know you have a couple of guys who need to keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play the young guy, either Sanders or Gabriel, why? Because are you trying to develop them? And what if they're really good? And then you have the opportunity to draft the best quarterback coming out in what's considered a really good quarterback draft. Do you want to have two good young quarterbacks? That'd be fine with me. I really would. It'd be great to have two guys that you think are actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Or three.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both think he's going to be on the field this year.
Yep.
So what do you do at quarterback this year if your ultimate goal is to get the best quarterback possible out of next year's draft? Honestly, it's a puzzle that the answer is real clear. But who wants to admit it?
What's the answer?
Get the best draft choice you possibly can. And how do you do that? By losing games.
Okay. All right. So let me say this. The season really comes down to Sunday. Can we be honest? It really does. Because 0-3 teams don't make the playoffs.
0-2 teams have a tough time.
In fact, I will tell you, all six teams in NFL history that have made it after an 0-3 start. The 81 Jets, the 82 Bucks, which was a strike shortened season, the 92 Chargers, the 95 Lions, and the 98 Bills. Anybody want to come into the century? Oh, it's only happened once in the 25 years of this century. Or is it 26? Or is it 24? The Houston Texans did that in 2018. So once you go 0-3, just forget about the season. I hate to say it. You got to start playing for next year. So if that doesn't give you some kind of guidance, mathematical guidance, one team since 98 has made it after an 0-3 start, and that's the Houston Texans in 2018.
All right, so get back to my point.
The point is,
what do you do with quarterback?
Well, now I think you can have a little bit more clarity after you get past this week's game if you lose. Now you are on 100% the fast track of trying to figure out which college quarterback you want, which I know we're going to talk about those college quarterbacks coming up. The next question is how do you project Gabriel? How do you project Sanders? I project Gabriel, and I don't think I'm wrong. I think a lot of people do, as your backup here for a while. And maybe even Sanders could be your backup here for a while.
It would be okay if you drafted a guy next year. And you think he's your quarterback, and yet you start Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. And I mean, what would be wrong with this franchise actually having two or possibly three quarterbacks that you actually like, who you think you can win games with? What the heck would be wrong with that?
I think you're looking at two, though. I think the NFL average would be two. Now, the question
I would agree with that.
Here's my problem that I have going into next year.
And Dylan will be thrilled when they draft another quarterback
next year? Someone's getting traded. One of those two is going to get traded, or they're going to find themselves on another team. And I think the point here for next year is, do you want your first-round draft pick, who's a quarterback, to have a seasoned quarterback in that room? Because you're not going to with Gabriel and Sanders. They'll have 1 year under their belt in the NFL.
Yeah, so
that is a very, very young quarterback room that I wouldn't have any expectations
for. Remember, a veteran quarterback's job is not to coach.
I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about telling guys how to live life and survive in the NFL. And make smart plays.
I know.
And do things that go beyond coaches.
I know. That makes sense. I know that.
I hate to agree with you.
I know that makes sense.
But Pickett would have made way more sense on this team than Flacco. As much as I like Joe.
You do think so? I do.
I'm sitting here at 0-2 saying you were right and that it would have made way more sense to have Pickett here.
James is in East Cleveland. James, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Hey, we're good.
Well.
Okay, that's good news. Listen, I got a couple observations and a question, if I may. I did think Joe Flacco coming to the season gave the Browns the best chance to win, given their schedule, given his acumen, and the rookies playing. But one thing you can't do as a veteran quarterback, if you're going to put him out there in front of the rookies, you can't go out there making mistakes. If you're going to do that, then why just not throw the rookies in and let them make the mistakes? I think what's changed in the Browns trying to rekindle that magic back from a couple years ago is they asking him to do two different roles now. Real brief, that team that Joe Flacco led to the playoffs, they had, first of all, an historic defense, like all-time great, one of the all-time greatest defenses in the NFL, period.
It was really good. It was a really good defense, James. You're right.
Yep.
And might have one again. We'll see.
Yeah, they headed towards. I wish MJ Emerson was in there and JOK. But then you had Pro Bowler Nick Chubb. You had Cooper, who was known in the league as the best pass route runner. So he was asked to
play. And he connected with Joe.
Yes, and he was a plug and play. And you had Njoku out there. Now they're asking him to lead the Browns. And you're asking him to lead them with receivers like Jerry Jeudy. And here comes the question. Jerry Jeudy led the league in drops. Last year, and by my count, he got at least 3-2 games, so he's like on pace for 20 drops this season. So it led to my question: who on this Browns receiving core do you trust to catch the ball fourth down, fourth quarter? Dennis Northcutt versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3rd and 6. You need to catch the ball. Njoku, who got the history of drops, who do you trust to catch the ball?
There isn't anybody here yet.
Samson, that's my guess. Thank you.
Hang on a second. You still there? James?
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever say you sound like Kendrick Lamar? You sound just like him. Like, I'm waiting for you to start busting out, not like us. I'm waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. I got the flow, man. This is J.I. from EC, man. You already know I got the flow on lockdown. Avenue Productions. You know, we used to do a big back in the day at Shaw High, represent class of 03. We used to do a big up there.
There you go. L.E.L., baby. L.E.L.
There goes James.
Rest the L.E.L.
Thank you, James.
All right. Don't you think didn't he sound like Kendrick a little bit?
I can hear it.
Oh, Todd, I was just like, wow, I wonder if this is... I was like, wouldn't it be cool if it was?
Guys are hip.
So did you watch the halftime show? You don't have to be hip to watch the halftime show.
So what do you do at quarterback? I mean, seriously.
For this season, next season, or what are we saying? Is the goal,
you want to develop two young guys. Playing the old guy doesn't necessarily mean you have a better chance to win a game.
I think there's another twist to this, Jeff.
Deshaun's coming back. Is that the twist?
No.
What is it?
The twist is who's the front office and who's the head coach going into next year, too.
Okay.
Because that's true, too. Like, don't you feel like...
You're absolutely right.
I mean, Gabriel definitely has the attention of the head coach. He has the attention of the front office. There's no question. If they're gone, it could be... You could have three new quarterbacks here next year. Easy. And somebody might want to give Sanders that shot. So maybe two. Well, three. Four. Well, it depends on Watson, right? Brown's quarterback math is probably harder than any other math I've ever done in my life.
Cleveland's in Cleveland.
Hey,
welcome, Cleveland.
Hey, guys. I agree with you, Jeff, and then I don't. I just don't want to take Flacco out and put one of the kids in right away. I say give it three or four games just to get the whole team solidified first, and then put him in a little and see what happens, and I'll let you guys talk about that.
Cleveland, thank you.
I'll go back to my 0-3 theory. If you had any hopes or aspirations of making the playoffs, they depend on this week against the Green Bay Packers.
See, I think Cleveland has a real valid point, because I can't give you a real reason why Joe Flacco should be taken out right now. Joe's been asked to throw 45 passes in each of the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been given a running game. I'm not blaming this on Flacco. If they were able to run the football, I think we'd see a different guy. And though at this point I'm already thinking, let's see the other guys, let's see the young guys, I think Cleveland might be right. Time probably isn't right. To me, the whole thing's just kind of a mess, because I don't think there's any question you're taking a quarterback next year. Which quarterback might it be? Oh, we'll enlighten you. Our 2026 Browns possible quarterback list, Andy, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
I'd like to thank Chip for sending me an email that sets up our next segment perfectly.
Oh, Chip.
It's not the same Chip you're thinking of.
Oh, different Chip.
Yep. This is from Chip.
The guy that hangs with Dale? Or?
First of all, he lied. He said, Jeff, great show.
Yeah.
And then he said, based on Andrew Berry's previous strategy to get a quality quarterback, I predict the Browns will draft 3 quarterbacks next year. Chip.
Bip, bip.
With that said, we go to our next segment, and that is, let's take a look at next year's draft.
Ah.
Because I'm convinced, Andy's convinced, Mary Kay Cabot is convinced. Dan, are you convinced?
Bet your rear end.
That the Browns are taking a quarterback in 2026. Who will it be?
At the end of this, I'm going to tell you who's not convinced the Browns are taking a quarterback next year.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Let's start with some of the guys who are kind of hanging around and probably aren't going to be the guy unless the Browns drop way down. Nico Iamaliava of UCLA.
Yes.
His play has helped get Deshaun Foster fired at UCLA. The Bruins lost to New Mexico. Nico's doing okay. He transferred from Tennessee.
Yes, we remember.
Because his coach got fired, he's now able to enter the transfer portal again, and there's already talk about where is he going to go next year. So he could be 3 schools in 3 years. That's not a recipe for great success.
I thought you can go in the transfer portal anytime after every year.
Yeah, you probably can. But you're immediately eligible now.
Okay.
So, he is interesting. He's 6'6", but just, you know, we have 2 young quarterbacks now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Sam Levitt from Arizona State led the Sun Devils to a 34-15 win over Texas State. But he wasn't real good. He was 15 of 25, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns. This guy continues to intrigue people a little bit, except for one thing. They don't play anybody. The Indiana Hoosiers beat Larry Bird's Indiana State Sycamores over the weekend, 73-0. Fernando Mendoza, one of the 2 Mendoza brothers who quarterbacked the Indiana Hoosiers, was 19 of 20 for 270 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Indiana's schedule is going to get tougher, though. You know that.
So. Yeah, so we'll see what he does against tougher competition.
That dude reminds me of Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah.
When everything around him is going well, he's fantastic. If any small thing goes bad, he crumbles.
Well, let me tell you why things have gone well. They're 3-0. They've opened the season against Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, and Indiana State. And Fernando Mendoza, who's from Miami, by the way, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions, completing 72% of his passes. You go 19 of 20 in a game, that'll help that completion percentage. I don't think any of those guys are at the top of the list. Now we move to the guys who might be guys you're thinking about here for next year, folks. So
okay.
Lock in. The guy that we all kind of have this impression about is like, Cade Klubnik from Clemson. They lost to Georgia Tech.
His tough loss. Big
loss. Clemson's now 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Klubnik was 15 of 26, 207 yards. He had a touchdown and an interception. He seems to be losing a little bit of his luster.
It's early in season.
From Medina High School, Drew Aller.
Yes.
Penn State University. Yes. They won 52-6 over Villanova.
Yeah.
By the way, Jim McQuaid, former coach at Solon.
Oh, yeah.
His son, Pat, one of the quarterbacks for Villanova in that tough loss.
Cool.
52-6. Aller, solid. 16 of 29, 209 yards, touchdown, interception.
He's got big games coming up.
Man. Yeah, they haven't played a whole lot of anybody yet either. So Drew's going to get tested moving forward. I think Drew's on the Browns' radar.
I think he's also on the Steelers' radar.
At LSU, Garrett Nussmeier got yelled at by his coach, Brian Kelly, after his last pass of the game was intercepted. Perhaps it was due to the torso tightness that Garrett Nussmeier has been dealing with all season long. Against Florida, they did win 20-10. Brian Kelly acted like a horse's patoot after the game and yelled at a reporter who asked some questions. 20 of 10, they won 20-10. He was 15 of 27, 220 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. After Brian Kelly berated a reporter, he later texted the reporter and apologized to him.
Brian Kelly has a couple things in his past there that is...
What are you talking about, Andy?
Not a fan.
It's good to be here at Louisiana State University. I'm from New England.
Yes. How you like them apples?
Dropping to number two on my little hit list right yes. now.
Ooh, listen to you.
Arch Manning from the University of Texas Longhorns.
Arch Manning needs another year.
Arch was booed.
He I think his shoulder's messed up.
I think he is too.
I think his shoulder's messed up.
I think he needs to go Drew Aller and play another year of college after this. Yeah, it just all seems really obvious.
Your former Packer guy, Kurt, who plays quarterback, immediately said that guy's against Ohio State, that guy's shoulder is hurt. Just look at the way he's throwing.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. It seems like they need to just shut him down and for him to go, you know what, I'll come back to Texas next year. Let's go figure out what's wrong with my shoulder and get it fixed because that arm angle is not how he was throwing last year.
I mean,
Something went awry.
He's almost slinging it from between his shoulder and his hip.
Right. And he's spraying throws that he should easily be making. I think he's hurt.
They beat UTEP 27-10. And he was booed when he ended the first half with 10 straight incompletions. Now, he might be leading college football in cool commercials and NIL money, but he was booed. He was 11 of 25 for 114 yards, a touchdown, and interception against Texas El Paso. On the season, three games, 55% completion percentage, six TDs, three interceptions. So I think he's losing some of his luster as well. So you got a couple of guys that's happening to. Sitting on the top of my list right now.
Yep.
Still Lenora Sellers from South Carolina.
Really?
I said last week, go look at video if you haven't. And I had, I think, three of our loyal listeners text me. One called and said, hey, I did just what you said to do. Oh, my God. This guy's a beast, man. Now, is he Anthony Richardson? I don't know. He's a beast. He looks great. And he got knocked out of the game in the second quarter against Vanderbilt with a concussion and may miss this week's game. When he got knocked out, he was 6 of 7 for 94 yards with an interception. And the kid from Vanderbilt came on a blitz. Nobody touched him. And he didn't even lay out Lenora Sellers. He actually held up. And Sellers went to the ground. The kid from Vanderbilt didn't. And the kid from Vanderbilt got called for targeting. And it looked like anything but, because he had a clean blitz. You know, I mean, nobody touched him. Nobody from South Carolina blocked him.
Mm-hmm.
And Sellers went to the ground and suffered a concussion. If you're going to take a chance on a guy in a draft, right now, he looks like the kind of guy you take a chance on. He's big. He's strong. He's smart. He had an almost 5-point grade point average in high school. 5.0. Because of honors classes and stuff.
Just going back into your list here for a second. Just double checking. Did I miss John Mateer or no?
I don't have him in there yet. Andy.
I don't know how you can't have him in there.
I don't.
And who's the kid from Miami? Why would I forget the Miami kid's name?
Carson Beck.
Yeah, Carson Beck.
I would. Right now, to me, there are five guys. And Mateer and Beck would be guys that fall into the same category as Fernando Mendoza and Sam Levitt and Nico Iamaleava. And that's this. Okay, their quarterback's coming out and somebody's going to draft him and they might make a team. And maybe one of them even sneaks into the first round. But it would appear from all of the rankings and everything you're reading and hearing that the five guys who seem to be sitting on top of this, in no particular order, Sellers, Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier, Drew Aller, Kate Klubnik.
Yeah, I think Mateer is going to, his name's going to come. He's looked really good. I mean, I don't know how he'll be there. When this is all said and done, he could be one of those first round guys. Could be. I'm not saying that he's necessarily going to be it, but I don't know. CBS has, I know he's not eligible yet, but Julian Sain is in the top 10 for CBS. Yeah. Just in case you're looking at Ohio State quarterbacks. He's not going anywhere.
That's cute.
Let's see what it looks like by the end of next year.
That's cute. Right now, NFLDraftBuzz.com, they have them listed this way, but I'm not sure if it's completely up to date. They have Arch Manning, Nussmeier, Klubnik.
I found Manning.
Then they have Sellers and Aller, Levitt, Mendoza, Beck, Iamaleava, Mateer, kid named Taylen Green from Arkansas. We're convinced the Browns are going to take somebody.
They'll take somebody.
I would think it's going to be one of those guys in the top five.
What if this draft ends up to be not very good? There's a possibility that happens, too.
Everybody seems to think it's going to be a good one.
As of today, we're a couple weeks into the season.
Everybody seems to think it's going to be a good one.
So do you want to hear this one? You know how I've been talking about Tankathon, right?
Yeah, draft one, picks? One thing. Okay. Yeah. If they draft a quarterback next year, that means you're going to have three guys, in theory, 1 or 2 years in the NFL. One rookie and two-year guys, and probably Deshaun Watson. Unless you cut Deshaun and send him on his way. Would that be okay if you had four quarterbacks, your number one overall pick, or number two, or three, or five, or wherever you get them? Samson and Gabriel and Shadur.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson?
Could that be
your agreement? Or again, is that one or two quarterbacks too many?
Wait. Now you're talking about four quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're drafting for next
one.
Year.
Yeah.
Because you're going to draft one.
I'm concerned that you're going to have Gabriel Sanders in a first-round draft pick.
And nothing more.
Yeah, but listen to this. Okay, ready?
Well, that's what Bill Musgrave is for. That's your quarterback coach.
Well, that's true.
Coach him up.
Tankathon. So you've heard me talk about Tankathon the last couple of days because they have the NFL draft order and they also have strength of schedule on there. So that's what kind of makes it play out. They have the Browns' natural pick coming at number 4, and then their Jacksonville pick at number 15. Tankathon also does a mock draft.
Yeah.
And they already have mock draft out for next year.
Yeah.
The Browns, if they selected at these natural positions.
Have them taking left tackle.
Have them taking, which this would not really bother me, especially if Gabriel or Sanders emerges.
As a,
Caleb Downs. At number 4.
Oh, easy, Andy. The Scarlet and Gray's coming out of your Kent State shirt.
The kid can play. I mean, it looks like there's two of them on the two Caleb Downs on the field at any given point.
Yes. Okay. So let me just. But
isn't his brother Josh Downs to the Colts?
That's a high price for safety, my friend.
Let me get through this here real quick. And at 15, they would take LT Overton, the edge rusher from Alabama.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Tankathon doesn't sit here and watch Browns quarterback play since 1999.
And you know how many quarterbacks they have going in the first round?
Six.
Three.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Just three.
They're wrong, baby.
Okay.
They're wrong. We're going to talk a little more football later on in the show, but guess what?
What, Jeff?
Guardians. Tigers. Oh, it starts tonight. Take a look at this team. There might be more keepers at position players than you might think. Andy's rolling his eyes at me.
I'm just looking for a bat somewhere. Please, can you get me a bat? Please.
Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey,
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.